Oh, that's perfect head.
Welcome to the second and final combo edition of Digital Flotsam, Perfect Head, and Blues Day Night Jam. I am your triple host, P.W. Fenton. This story starts out in New York City in the late 60s. I'm on Staten Island and I'm driving on Victory Boulevard past the Silver Lake Reservoir. There's a song on the car radio that's just knocking me out. In its chorus, it has a line that I feel is one of the cleverest lines in a pop song. I guess I'll sing another line. Besides loving the whole song, I'm just bowled over by the idea of saying in a song that you might as well just sing another line. I am so excited, I pull over and park so I can write down the name of the song and the artist. The song ends, and a commercial comes on, and then another, and another. And when the DJ comes back, it's as if he never even heard of this incredible song. He makes no mention of it. As soon as I got to a place with a phone, remember now, no cell phones in those days, I called the radio station. They had no clue. No matter how many times I sang the only line I could remember to them, they had no idea what I might be talking about. In the years following hearing that song and asking everyone I ever encountered if they knew the song, I had only one clue. One single person had said that it seemed like it might be a Buzzy Linhart song. But you have to remember, in those olden days, there was no Google to search. There was no internet. The local EJ Corvette store had no records by anyone named Buzzy Linhart. And if I couldn't find him on the radio, well, then he might as well not even exist. I remained stumped for several years. Now we jump forward in time, a good 4 years at least. I am in a typing class. Don't ask me why I was in a typing class. The important thing is that in this typing class, I met a young lady who was a relative of Carole King, the songwriter. So I began to tell her about myself and my songwriting and my little recording studio in Brooklyn, and we became friends. Well, one day she says to me, could you do sound for a live show? All the equipment will already be there. All you'll have to do is work the soundboard. I said, sure. What are you talking about? She says, oh, great. It's for a friend of Carol's who's doing a showcase in a club in Manhattan. Her name is Bette Midler. And all you have to do is run the soundboard. It'll pay $100. Well, I've heard of Bette Midler. How cool. Well, of course, I say, of course. On the night of the gig, I arrive at the club early and I try to set up as best I can with the equipment that's there. I'm guessing it was the house PA. Soon, Bette is there and she gives me a cassette tape that will be the accompaniment. No band. Which was a relief. This was going to be way easier than I thought. She explains that this is a showcase and that she will be introducing some new songs for various producers and record people that will be in the audience. She explains that she has rehearsed with the tape, so all I have to do is start the tape when she gives me a cue. And then just balance her singing with the tape. Seems simple enough. I suggested we establish some levels. So she begins to sing into the mic. I set what seems to be an optimal level, but she keeps telling me to bring up her mic. Well, as I edge it up, it begins to start that ringing noise that tells me that we're about to feed back, so I back off a hair. She keeps insisting that I raise the level. I try to explain that if I raise it any higher, then it's going to start feeding back. Besides, she sounds plenty loud enough for a small club like this. She then starts to lecture me about how she is the star, and she has the years of experience, and I am nobody. And if I do what I'm told, I just might learn something about doing sound. So I turn the knob for her mic as loud as I can go and not feedback, and then I very subtly release my grip on the knob, but still moving my fingers as though I am turning up the level, all the while looking at her for approval. And she, of course, is watching me turn it up. Finally, she smiles, nods, and I stop faking that I'm turning up the knob. She says, "See? Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about." Well, her performance went really well, and once she started really singing, I, of course, had to bring her level down even more. The crowd really seemed to love everything she did. After her set was finished, she very graciously came over to me and said, "Come on over to our table. I'd like you to meet my friends. And maybe you can hustle up some more work." One by one, she introduced me to all the folks at this big table. They were very important people that I should have done my best to impress. But to this day, I have very little recollection of who I was actually introduced to. I knew nothing about these people. But when she said, "And this is my good friend, Buzzy Linhart," I was suddenly possessed. I wasn't rude, but I sat there waiting through every conversation for an opportunity to speak to Buzzy. Buzzy had written one of her biggest hits to that time, a song called "Friends." Well, as soon as I could get his attention, I asked him, "You have this song, and it has this repeating line, something like, 'I guess I'll sing another line.' What song is that?" Inspired by the attention, he began to tell me that the song was named "Talk About a Morning," something I never would have guessed based on my obsession with that one line in the chorus. He told me what album it was on, and when pressed, where I could probably find a copy. But more importantly, he told me where he would be performing next, a place called Gertie's Folk City, a legendary place in Greenwich Village where people like John Lee Hooker and Bob Dylan had performed. Of course, as was always my habit, I showed up at Gertie's early. And as was Buzzy's habit, according to Gertie's owner, Mike Porco, Buzzy showed up whenever he showed up. But the important thing was, I got to sing harmony live in Gertie's Folk City with Buzzy Linhart. I am pretty sure that I floated home that night, several feet above the ground.
Talk about a moment.
Telling this story was essentially inspired by finding a videotape of Buzzy singing that very song the night before I was there. Portable, half-inch tape reel-to-reel video recorders were an expensive and recent development in those days, but someone who owned one was there to capture it. Guitarists will be interested in the fact that this was the first time I had ever seen anyone use a chorus pedal. And Buzzy was possessed with it, used it all night, and was very excited by my interest. I'll be putting a copy of this video up online in all three websites so you can see it. Unfortunately, it does not contain me and my stellar harmonies. So I'm going to close out the show by playing two more songs. First is Buzzy's song that Bette Midler made famous, Friends. Now, I like Bette Midler's version, but I am crazy about Buzzy's version.
And I am all alone. There is no one here beside me. And my problems have all gone. There is no one to deride me. But you got to have friends, the feeling's oh so strong. You got to have friends to make that day last long. I had some friends, but they're gone. Came and took them away, and from the dust to the dawn. care if I'm hungry or cold. I'm going to get me some, because you got to have friends. Friends. I had some friends, but they're gone. Wow, wow, wow. Came and took them away, and from the dust to the down, on. Here is where I'll stay, yay, yay, yay. Standing at the end of the road, boys, waiting for my new friends to come. I do not care if I'm hungry or cold. Standing at the end of the road, I said that I'm going to get the sun. Because you got to have friends. You got to have friends. You got to have friends. Lord, you got to have friends. That's right. Some friends, but they're gone. Yeah. Woo, come on.
After that initial meeting at Bette Midler's gig, I found and bought every piece of vinyl by Buzzy that I could find, and I still have them all. The next song you will hear is probably my favorite of all of them, and is definitely a blues tune. You may have heard me mention on Facebook recently that Buzzy was the man that taught me to yodel. Well, it's not exactly what most people think of as yodeling, but I think you'll recognize what I'm talking about. So here is Buzzy singing "Where a Tear Outweighs a Smile." And ever since
Did you wear away? Said I even had to cook my, even had to cook my own souffle. And I tried to tell myself that there'll be better days away. Some people just sit around and they try to grin. When you know they're gonna just turn around and start crying. Over again. And the blues may be weary. But there ain't no sin. Yes, that's just the kind of bag that I'm in. Tea and coffee. Every night of day. I'm just trying to keep the blues away.
Hurt so bad.
And you know I could get drunk. Lots of people do. I do not mean a few, but drinking ain't my style. Come back, baby. Baby, won't you try? Come on, home and give me one more, one more, one more time, so I can change this old world.
Well, we have reached the end of this second and final three-way combo show. Hopefully everyone within the sound of my voice has now checked out and subscribed to all three. Not that I'm limited to just three. You could go to pwfenton.com and find links to all five of my shows. Well, this is PW Fenton, hoping all your blues are the musical kind, that you get to enjoy plenty more Perfect Head, and that you pay attention to Big Al when he says,
and P-Dub holded the microphone.